to General Mills Radio Adventure Theater. Welcome again to the magic world of radio, where your imagination can lead you to the most exciting adventures you ever dreamed of. I'm Tom Bosley, and today we turn back the clock some 500 years before Christ. Those were the days when Confucius began to set down what we call his sayings. There were earthquakes in Sparta, ball games in Athens. A famous athlete called Milo won first place in the Olympic Games 6 times. And a certain man called Daniel had a narrow escape in a den of lions, which is exactly what today's adventure is about. Our adventure story, Daniel the Oracle, was adapted from the pages of biblical history, especially for the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater, by Madeline Ferber, and stars Russell Horton. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Thinking about it.
Jerusalem was burning, sacked and conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Interesting man, Nebuchadnezzar. He liked the arts, science, architecture, and although he had conquered Jerusalem, he did not look down on the Jews. In fact, he wanted to share with them the glory of knowledge. Daniel, who was there, and who many called Daniel the Oracle, will tell us how it really was. Daniel?
I came from a good family. We were, in fact, related to the king of Judah. And when Nebuchadnezzar waged war against us and won, he wanted the boys from the best Jewish families to come and live in his court. One day, when I came home from school, there was a stranger in our house, and my mother was smiling and crying at the same time.
Ah, so this is Daniel, is it? A fine-looking boy.
Sir, I don't think we've met.
No, we haven't. My name is Ashpenaz. I am the Lord Chamberlain of your new king, King Nebuchadnezzar. You know who your new king is, don't you?
The only king we in Israel serve is our God in heaven.
Well said. But the kingdom of heaven is not what interests me now, but the kingdom on earth.
Nebuchadnezzar, you mean?
Daniel, you have been selected to live in the king's palace.
What for?
I have been commanded by the king to select certain youngsters, and I quote him, well-favored, skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science.
I am happily surprised.
Our wise king knows one cannot rule by force. He knows the street of understanding runs in both directions. Just as he would know and learn about the Israelites, he wishes the young Jews to stand in the king's palace and learn our language and heritage.
Many boys were selected, including my 3 brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I had an open mind. I wasn't dead set against King Nebuchadnezzar because he'd taken over my homeland. But by nature, I ask questions. Take the matter of food, for instance.
Daniel, you can give me all the reasons you want, but I still think you won't eat what everyone else would be delighted to eat, because you're stubborn.
Maybe I am, but maybe I'm stubborn because I'm right.
Don't be headstrong. The king has high hopes that your presence in the court will help your people, right?
Right.
So if the king orders you to eat at your meals what he eats, his wine, his meat, it is for your own good, right?
Wrong. It is not for my own good. A daily diet of wine and meat may be the right nourishment for a king, but not for Daniel.
Don't you understand? The king believes that if you share the same food and drink as he has, you will grow to his liking.
Ashpenaz, let me say this. The king wants what is best in me to grow.
He does.
He desires the same for my 3 brothers, right?
Right.
Do this. As an experiment, give my brothers and me only peas and beans and fruit to eat and water to drink for 10 days, no more.
10 days?
Yes, and if at the end of 10 days our minds are not quicker and our eyes brighter, even our skins fairer than all the other boys, you may have your way. On the 10th day of our diet of fruit, vegetables, and water, our complexions were fairer, and the four of us were far more alert than any of the others. Time passed. We learned, and we remembered, and the day came when we were presented to the king.
I find that you, Daniel, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are 10 times wiser than all the magicians and astrologers of my realm.
Your Majesty, 3 years have passed, and God has been at my side day and night. If I am as wise as you say I am, wiser than those to whom you look for wisdom, it is God's doing.
Daniel, tell me no more of your God. I do not wish to hear it. Yes, you may approach the throne, Arioch. You know Daniel, do you not?
I most certainly do. He's the talk of the court.
And I have met Arioch, the astrologer.
I overheard you, Daniel, still talking about your God and your faith.
Belief is so strong within me, Arioch, my tongue will not be silent.
Daniel, am I not king?
Of your kingdom, yes, so long as God permits it.
Did your God give Nebuchadnezzar permission for him to take Israel? Your God, Daniel, upon whom you relied to defend you?
God works his will in mysterious ways. Your Majesty, may I be excused? I find that talking with an astrologer sheds no light upon the truth. Perhaps because in his glass the heavens are too far away.
Of course you may go, Daniel.
The truth, Daniel, is not what you see, but what is. And our king, he is lord of the entire earth.
I take my leave of you?
Yes, he is stubborn, obstinate, yet much of what he says has the golden ring of truth.
Do you know, my lord, this Daniel spends many hours each day praying to his God?
Yes, Arioch, I never doubted but that Daniel and many other Jews still pray to their God. However, since you and I know our idol Belus is the power of life, why should we care that others worship a lesser god?
You're too patient, my king.
The day came when King Nebuchadnezzar awoke from a terrible dream. So frightening it was that the next morning exactly what he had dreamt was pushed out of his mind, forgotten. But what remained with him was a sense of horror and fear of the unexpected, an uneasiness which he could not shake. And so he summoned his magicians, sorcerers, and astrologers to explain it to him.
I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit is greatly troubled to know what it means.
Oh, King, tell us that dream, and we will show you the interpretation.
I cannot remember it. But surely those of you who are wizards and sorcerers should be able to look into the heavens and find my dream.
Well, the stars are our light to the future. We astrologers understand the stars and what they tell us. But to understand the mind of a sleeping king...
I've had enough of this shilly-shallying. Either you can tell me or you cannot. And I warn you, whoever cannot tell me what I dreamt... or what it means will be cut into pieces, do you hear? But whoever tells me my dream and explains it, I will reward with gifts and great honor. Well, who shall be the first among you?
Surely, O King, it is not unreasonable to ask for you to remember the dream and for us to interpret it.
Arioch, I am on to your tricks, your evasions. Argument and talk merely to gain time. If you cannot tell me my dream and its meaning, what good are all of you to me? You are charlatans all.
There's not a man on earth who can do your bidding in this, O King.
So you will not.
Oh, we cannot. No man can. No one except the gods can tell what you wish to know.
You have been honest and forthright with me, so shall I be with you.
I need you not.
Where?
I find the wise men of Babylon are as ignorant as the common folk. Henceforth, I issue this decree. All wise men shall be put to death.
Strictly speaking, my brothers Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and I were also wise men. The king himself had so proclaimed us. Therefore, we were also slated to die. I prayed and found that our God, in his wisdom, must have softened Nebuchadnezzar's heart somewhat. For he received me, promising to hold up the executions for 3 days. Give me 3 days, I had said. And on the third day, I went to see him.
Daniel, I have set great store by your abilities.
I shall tell you what you wish to hear.
In spite of the fact that my wisest have said a dream can never be known to another person?
Perhaps not to a person.
They say I ask too much of them.
At last, they tell the truth. No astrologer or soothsayer can tell you the dream that fear has driven from your mind. But there is a God in heaven who knows all things and who has revealed to me your secret dream.
Wait. Wait. I want to be sure we are alone. They listen sometimes to what is said in the inner chambers and then come to me pretending they have divined my mind. Close the drapes that hang over the door. Good. Now, come here. Close to my side, Daniel. And tell me that dream.
Young Daniel, 19, sits beside King Nebuchadnezzar. This was to be his first great test. In the years to come, Daniel would become so well known for his wisdom and knowledge that it became a proverb among Babylonians to say, "As wise as Daniel." I'll be back shortly with Act Two. General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly.
Be delicious. Yeah.
What was the dream that so horrified King Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel told him he had dreamt of a great golden idol with feet of iron and clay. Suddenly, in the dream, a tremendous rock had fallen upon the figure, which had broken into small pieces, fallen, and disappeared. But the rock itself grew and grew until it filled the entire earth.
It is so, Daniel. It is so. That was my dream. But why did it frighten me so? And why does it haunt me to this moment? What does it mean?
God's strength is the stone. The image, the golden image, is yourself. When you crumble, when you die, God will raise a kingdom that will, like the rock of your dream, fill the world.
Ah, it was a dream of the future, then.
It is the certainty of the future. What to you was a dream will come true.
It is not a welcome future you have foretold. But my mind rests easy, for now I know. Daniel, what is your wish? Anything.
Set free Arioch, your court astrologer, and all his men. Set free the soothsayers, the magicians, all the unwise wise men. They are but mortal and not to be held in account for their limited vision.
You are right, Daniel. They have no more answers to eternal questions than ordinary mortals.
Nebuchadnezzar, great king, we are all ordinary mortals.
None of you were able to tell me, Daniel has done. Therefore, I have asked him to be the ruler of the entire province of Babylon, over all governors, all captains, and yes, over all of you wise men. I see open mouths, raised eyebrows, questioning looks. Huh? Well, be not anxious. Daniel has declined my proposal. Instead, Babylon will be ruled by his three brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
As for the sentence of death I pronounced upon you, wise men, you may thank Daniel that your lives will be spared.
What is there about time that on the one hand heals wounds and on the other causes men to forget a promise? The fear of the frightening dream was gone, the stone crushing the idol. Nebuchadnezzar remembered only that vision of a head of gold. And so he had such a golden image built high on the plain of Dura. When it was completed, every single man of each government were gathered in front of the golden idol. It was 100 feet high.
All peoples gathering today at this dedication of the golden symbol of Nebuchadnezzar, welcome! As one together, we shall all fall to the ground and worship at the golden feet of our golden king.
Good day to you, Daniel.
Ashpenaz, I haven't seen you in years.
The king is still sending me to find young men like yourself to bring new blood to the court.
You must be joking. What does Nebuchadnezzar want with new blood? Look at that monstrous gold idol. All the king wants is to be worshipped as though he were a god. Power. Power has corrupted him. Wait and see, good Ashpenaz.
It is hereby commanded by the king that whoever does not prostrate himself and worship this golden image shall be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace.
Yes, Arioch, what is it?
Did you not issue a decree that upon the sound of certain music, every subject in your kingdom shall fall down and worship the great golden image?
Certainly.
And if they do not obey, their lives are forfeited in the fiery furnace.
You don't have to repeat all that. What's behind the question?
There are certain Jews you have appointed to high posts over the affairs of the province of Babylon.
I know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, come along, man. What are you getting at?
Great king, they have not obeyed your wish. They serve their god, not you. They do not worship the golden image you've built at Dura.
Well, is it true? I have brought you here to answer me. You, Shadrach, you, Meshach, and you, Abednego. Is the accusation true or false? Ah, you're silent, so I take your silence for an admission of guilt. Yes, Daniel.
They do not answer, for your question needs no reply. Punish them as you've decreed and have done with it.
Don't think that I won't, Arioch. The furnace on the palace grounds we use to fire tiles. Have it brought to flame 7 times hotter than is usual.
Yes, your majesty. And I go immediately.
Your majesty.
Guess what? Who is it?
It is I, your royal chamberlain, Ashpenaz.
Speak up. What is it? Nothing but treason and interruption.
Your majesty, I have known these 3 brothers, 4 including Daniel, for many, many years.
So?
They're among the finest in the land. Have you forgotten you yourself were so pleased at their wisdom? You have put them to govern all of Babylon. Have mercy on them, O king.
I am not a merciful king. I know I have enemies. They're all about me, anywhere, everywhere. The furnace it will be. Take them away.
I had never seen the king in such a fury. My 3 brothers were bound up in their clothes and thrown into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Those who had lifted them up and thrown them to the flames were so overcome by the intense heat that they died.
Daniel, am I going mad, or do I see the 3 traitors walking upon the coals, untouched by the flames?
You may see 3 traitors. I see my brothers alive.
Good Lord, who is the 4th? The one standing beside them amid the flames.
An angel, O king.
Oh, it is the end. What have I done? Fire does not consume them. Oh, Daniel, my head is going around. I cannot speak. Tell your brothers, ask them to come forth from the furnace.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, walk to me from the furnace.
The king has fainted.
Come to his aid. He has fallen, Daniel.
Oh, Daniel, I have sinned. My heart is not beating. Oh, Daniel, save me.
Good morning, Daniel. How fares his majesty today?
I haven't seen him since last night. But I would say in the past 7 days he has shown some improvement.
Is it a whole week since your brothers walked out untouched from the fiery furnace?
A week of self-torture for the king.
Daniel, where are you?
In the antechamber, your majesty.
Oh, yes, here you are, Daniel.
Good morning, your majesty.
Daniel, my prayer was not answered. I was not forgiven, was I?
Your majesty, forgiven for what?
Don't be cunning with me, my boy. When those three walked from the blazing furnace, when I saw that fire had no power over them, that not a hair of their heads was even singed, they still wore the same clothing, unburnt, not even the smell of fire was on them. Oh, Daniel, I want to be forgiven. Did I not say, blessed be the God of Judah?
Oh, king, you must calm yourself and return to bed. You are not well.
No, I cannot go to bed.
Why not?
Well, you see, in bed, I had dreams.
Oh, you dreamt again last night?
But I won't permit those dreams to haunt me tonight. Oh, no, not again. No, I shall sit up all night in my chair.
Great king, I once helped you understand your dream. If you know what it means...
I would like to know. It is the unknown I am afraid of.
Know it, and it frightens not.
You did help me once, didn't you, Daniel? Daniel, come closer. You see, there was this gigantic tree.
You, sir! What are you standing there for, listening? Who are you?
A chamberlain, Ashpenaz, your majesty.
Well, who asked you here?
I await your pleasure.
My pleasure is to dismiss you. Now go.
Go. Daniel, is he gone?
Yes. You saw a great tree.
Yes, a tremendous tree. Huge, growing with beautiful leaves, plentiful fruit. Now, Daniel, this enormous tree and birds and animals lived in its shade. And then... Oh, Daniel, it was too terrible to even think of.
Go on.
Then this creature with wings, with a human head, flew down and cried out, "Cut down the tree, cut off its branches, leave the stump, tie it with chains. The tree has a human heart. Take away that heart and put in its place the heart of an animal."
Did the winged angel say for how long the animal heart must remain in the tree?
Yes, for 7 months. Daniel, do you know what the dream means?
You are that tree, Nebuchadnezzar. And in your shade, under your protection, others find rest. Upon your branches there is fruit. There is plenty for all your subjects.
That angel creature saying, "Cut down the tree," what does that mean?
You have angered God, Nebuchadnezzar. You will be cut down.
Oh, and the meaning of the chains and the animal heart in the tree for 7 months?
A penance. For 7 months you will live with the beasts of the forest and field as one of them. You will eat the same fodder as the oxen. You will sleep in the open, lowly, humble. And then, one day, God will show you the mercy you did not show others. That is all I can tell you of your dream.
True to the prophecy, there came a time when Nebuchadnezzar was no longer of sound enough mind to govern the kingdom. The king went mad, wandered into the forest, lived with the animals, ate what they did, slept under the stars. At the end of 7 months, suddenly his reason returned. He lifted up his eyes to heaven acknowledged that there was a greater power than himself, and that power was God. I'll be back in a few moments with Act 3.
This is UL.
The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly.
Hello.
The king of Babylon recovered, became well. But in spite of all the warning dreams telling him he was only mortal, something in him drove him to godlike aspirations. He rebuilt Babylon. Gardens, houses, towers, the famous hanging gardens. Not so much for the enjoyment of his people, but as a monument to his own greatness. And then, one day, like any mortal on earth, he died. His eldest son, Belshazzar, came to the throne and celebrated with a feast that is still talked about. Belshazzar's feast.
Let there be silence. Silence, all of you. Stop your eating and drinking. King Balthazar is about to address you.
Lords, ladies, governors, subjects all. To begin, I shall tell you that I am not going to be a kind king or an indulgent king, benevolent or generous. We have put up with the Jews in our midst for many years, and I think it's time they learned that they are the conquered peoples and we are the conquerors. And to show these Jews I mean what I say, I have had brought here for this feast all of their sacred relics, their gold religious cups and bowls. And you, my friends, who have gathered to honor me and this new era, you will drink your fill from these cups and bowls. Drink up to your heart's content.
My heart was far from content. It suffered to see our holy objects, our articles for sacred worship, desecrated. A sad beginning of this new era. Suddenly, this outrageous feast of Balthazar was interrupted.
What is it? Ariadne, go look. Tell me, what is that cry?
I cannot see, O king. It's at the far end of the hall. People are getting up. They're looking at the wall behind them. They're backing away.
Tell them all to sit down at their places. Sit down! Why are you standing, you over there?
All of you, be seated. The king commands it.
What is it? Ariadne, go over there to that far wall and tell me what you see.
My king, I don't believe my eyes. I cannot...
What do you mean you cannot? What is that moving on the wall? I see a shadow.
It is a hand, O King Balthazar.
What? A hand, you say? A hand moving on the wall? Whose is it?
Nobody's hand, O King. It is only a hand.
Has everyone gone mad? What are you, bewitched? I'm coming over there to see for myself this sorcery. A hand indeed. It is Babylon, it is true. It is a hand with no wrist, no arm, no body. A hand pointing its finger. Ah! The finger moves. It is writing strange letters upon the wall. Ariadne, what do you make of this witchcraft?
I cannot tell what the writing is.
I am not imagining what I see. You see it too.
No, I see the moving finger writes and then moves on.
How?
We must take care of it. Panic does not start. So many are watching, afraid.
A hand. A human hand.
An inhuman hand.
Wait. It is written two words. They seem the same, but they are words not of our language. Ariok, study it.
Yes.
You must tell me what it means. Call all the sorcerers and astrologers at your command. Do it now. I must find out.
Your Majesty, I cannot tell you the meaning of those words.
May I suggest someone who could explain it all?
Who is this old man, Ariok?
This is Ashpenaz. He was the Lord Chamberlain to your father.
Oh, yes, yes, I remember you now, Ashpenaz. Now, who is this you say can explain this hand and this writing?
Daniel.
Daniel?
The same Daniel who had the ear of your father.
Daniel, I heard too much of him when I was a boy. Where is he?
He is here in the banquet hall. He came along with all the others to do homage to you, O king.
Well, that is something in his favor. Bring him to me.
You
sent for me, King Balthazar?
Ah, you are Daniel, one of the children of captivity my father was lenient with.
What do you wish?
I have heard much of you, Daniel, although till now we have not met. People in the court say the spirit of the gods is in you, that understanding and wisdom is in you. If you succeed in explaining or exorcising this thing on the wall, you shall be rewarded.
Reward a Jew? I heard you say before you would not be a generous...
There are exceptions, so do not twist my words. Now, look up there, high on that wall. There is something there, is there not? We are not all bewitched. There is a hand upon that wall.
It is there.
Is it still writing?
It has just come to the end of the fourth word. Now, look. King, look. The hand is no more, but the writing remains. The words are clear.
What do they mean, Daniel?
The handwriting on the wall foretells everything.
What does it say?
God gave your father, Nebuchadnezzar, a kingdom, honor, and majesty. Your father's heart was lifted up, but his mind became hardened with self-pride. God found your father unworthy to rule. His heart became that of an animal. He took to the woods and lived with wild beasts. And finally, he came to understand God does not only rule in heaven, but over the kingdom of man.
But what has all that got to do with me?
Everything. Although you knew all this, Balthazar, you have not humbled your heart either. In fact, today, you have defied God.
I have not. How have I done that?
Look around you. The silver, the gold, the sacred object of God's house you have brought to this pagan feast in your honor and defiled with common wine, drunk by common mouths.
Are you sure I have made God angry?
Without a doubt. God has not allowed your wickedness to go unpunished. That hand, the hand we saw writing, is his hand. Those words, that writing there, are his words. Mene, mene, tekel, upasarin. They are your warning.
But how can I be warned if I cannot understand?
The meaning? I shall read you the meaning. God has numbered your days, Balthazar. Your kingdom is finished. Mene, mene. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Tekel. Your kingdom will be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. That very night, Balthazar the king was slain. And within days, as the handwriting on the wall had predicted, the country was overrun and conquered by the Medes and the Persians. The new ruler was Darius, a good man, 62 years old. He asked me to remain by his side, for I knew the people of the land, and I loved them and would do all I could to protect them. Arioch, the court astrologer, magician, what have you, was also asked by King Darius to join his court. He loved me not.
What do you mean, Daniel, I love you not?
You have always tried to thwart me? Always been suspicious?
Of your motives, perhaps. Not your ability. You have always had too much power, Daniel, to suit me. From Nebuchadnezzar to Balthazar, and now to Darius. For 35 years, I've taken your arrogance, Daniel. I've hated your ability to influence our kings. I say to you, beware. For I do not, cannot, shall not ever like you. King Darius, I beseech you, may I have a word?
Are you Arioch, the chief court sorcerer?
I am, your majesty. I brought with me this document, which is a signed testimony of the loyalty of your principal ruling subjects.
But why? I never doubted their loyalty.
They wish to go on record. All the governors, the princes, counselors, captains, they wanted you to know them by name.
All right.
Therefore, they have consulted together and drawn up for you a royal statute.
A new royal statute?
Yes, King Darius. A firm decree that whoever prays to any god or man other than you, King Darius, should be cast into the den of lions.
You know that if I put my signature to this document, the king's signature, it means this decree cannot be canceled or recalled. That is our law. The law of the Medes and the Persians.
Yes, I am aware of that. Why don't we say the decree holds for only the next 30 days, then?
For 30 days. All right. Give me the parchment so I may sign.
I knew about the decree, but it did not stop my daily prayers to God. My old friend, Arioch, saw to it that I was arrested. I was brought before King Darius, and I told him simply that no decree could ever stop my praying to God. I believe Darius had been misled into signing it, and although he grieved that I was to be placed into the lion's den, there was no altering the law. He was, it was said, the first monarch to accompany a victim every step of the way, on foot, to the cave in the mountains where the lions were kept. As was customary, they had not been fed.
Daniel, do not think ill of me. I wanted you to be my friend. I needed you.
I am your friend, King Darius. Do not be afraid. The lions are all part of the kingdom of earth under the rule of God.
You have such faith that your God will deliver you.
All my life I have believed.
King Darius, the soldiers are ready to carry Daniel into the lion's den. Then they will push the large boulder in front of the mouth of the cave. You, King Darius, are to set your seal on the stone so that we shall know it has not been tampered with.
You concern yourselves with the seals and the blocking of the entrance, if you wish. But I will not need to be carried into the lion's den. I shall walk.
Daniel, it is I, Darius, your king. I have not slept tonight, but have prayed for you. Has your God, whom you serve, delivered you from the lions?
Have the soldiers take away the stone from the front of the cave!
Soldiers, clear the entrance! Oh, Daniel, can you ever forgive me?
You but carried out the law. No king is above his own laws.
I can see the lions. They're lying down. Some are sleeping. They're quiet.
God sent his angel who shut the lions' mouths. They did not touch me. Darius, may this be a lesson to all of those who set themselves as more powerful than God himself.
In the book of Daniel, it is written that the men who had accused Daniel were then cast into the den of lions as punishment. The story of Daniel has given strength to Jews and Christians since the earliest days. Christian martyrs, too, were often thrown to lions, but they always rallied behind one phrase which gave them courage. It comes to us from Daniel, and I shall tell you what it is when I return in a moment. W.L. Words that gave courage to countless martyrs were written by King Darius. The God of Daniel shall rule over the world until the world's end. The God of Daniel protects, rescues, works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He is that God who delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. He will deliver you too. Peace be everywhere, and have faith. Our cast included Russell Horton, Norman Rose, Jackson Beck, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.